Last week we finished our series in the book of Acts, and as I said on that occasion, it's as if the book of Acts ends abruptly. And there are many questions that we have concerning Paul being left in Rome under this house imprisonment. Questions like, did he stand before Caesar since he appealed to Caesar? Was he released? Was he executed? What happened to Paul during these 2 years that Luke says he was in Rome? And what happened afterwards? All that Luke tells us in Acts 28 at the end is Paul lived there 2 whole years at his own expense, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So although Paul is in chains, Luke says the gospel isn't chained. Although Paul is under armed guard, the gospel is still advancing. During these 2 years of imprisonment in Rome, Paul is still being productive. And we know that during that time, he writes at least 4 letters, because 4 letters we have in the New Testament are written from the prison in Rome. The letter to the Colossians, the letter to Philemon, the letter to the church in Philippi, and the letter to the church in Ephesus. And these 4 letters are known as the prison letters, or the prison epistles of Paul. Those letters written to the churches during 2 years of being in house arrest. We could perhaps consider Paul sitting there chained to a Roman soldier every hour of every day for 2 years. And we might think to ourselves, what a waste. How could Paul serve Jesus Christ here in prison? Why would God lay aside one of his greatest servants? Surely the church needs him. How could Paul be useful in prison? And yet when we look at the New Testament, and when we read these prison epistles, we can see that God was still using Paul. Even though it looked as though there was no way that he could minister to the church, no way to be an encouragement to the church, even though it might appear that there's nothing that Paul could do because he was incarcerated, we see from the New Testament he was being fruitful. Paul was still serving. There was aspects of ministry that Paul could be involved in, even here in prison. And so from now until the end of the year, so for the rest of the month of December, I want us to look at these 4 letters and consider some ways in which Paul was able to minister to the churches, even though he was in chains. I want us to look at lessons from Paul's prison letters, lessons that will encourage us, and God willing, lessons that will challenge us. Because sometimes when we look at our circumstances, we perhaps feel as though we are unable to contribute much to the kingdom of Christ. Perhaps you feel as though your circumstances are like chains, a burden on you that doesn't free you up to serve the way you want to serve. Or maybe your abilities, you perhaps feel that they're so limited and so restricted that you don't have avenues of service. Or maybe just this morning you feel useless. What use am I in Christ's kingdom? What can I give? What can I contribute? Well, here we have 4 letters that will give us lessons. Lessons to show us how we can serve, even though perhaps we feel as if we're in a prison, are restricted in what we can do. These sermons are not going to be going through each letter, chapter by chapter, or verse by verse. But rather, I want us to look at different topics found in these letters that will, God willing, help us serve Christ more faithfully. And so to that end, as we had in the summer months when we were reading through the minor prophets, it'll be good for you to read through these four letters in the New Testament. There are six short chapters in Ephesians, four in Philippians, four in Colossians, and there's only one chapter in Philemon. So a total of 15 chapters. You could read through those four letters easily in a week. And if you read through each of those letters in 1 week, then you could read through them four times in 4 weeks, or five times, and that will bring us up to the end of the year. And it will be useful for you, and it will be useful for me as we come to consider lessons from these prison letters. Next week for our communion season, we're going to be considering Paul's pastoral heart from prison. And we're going to be looking in particular at Paul's letter to Philemon. So you can be reading that in particular. But this morning, I want us to begin with Paul as a man of prayer. The first lesson that we're considering from these prison letters is Paul prays. Paul prays. And we see, firstly, the circumstances of Paul's praying. We're taking, in particular for our study, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 to 21. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Paul says, for this reason. What is the reason that Paul is going to be praying? Well, if you go back to verse 1 of chapter 3, Paul says, I'm a prisoner for Christ Jesus on your behalf. Paul is in prison, under house arrest, chained to a Roman soldier. And it's a position that Paul is going to be in continually for 2 whole years. Paul is restricted. Paul is confined. There's a limit to what Paul can do. And yet, even though he's chained or incapacitated, we find he's not useless. He's still active in Christ's kingdom. He participates in the work of the gospel, and he does so through prayer. Look quickly at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Ephesians 1, verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. That's this church in Ephesus. Paul says, I haven't stopped praying for you. If you turn over to Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, so the next letter in the New Testament, Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer with joy. Paul prays for the church in Philippi. Turn over to the next letter, Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. And we read this. Colossians 1, verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Paul has been praying for this church. And then if you look at verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. And then if you go over to Paul's letter to Philemon. So 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and then Philemon. And Philemon is a letter that only has one chapter. And there in Philemon, in verse 4, Paul, in writing to this individual, he says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. What was Paul doing in prison? What activity did Paul involve himself in? He prayed. He prayed for all the churches. He prayed for the people that he knew by name. He prayed with thankfulness and joy for his brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul labored in prayer while he was in prison. And friends, that's important for us to realize. It might look at times as though we've been sidelined in the work of Christ's kingdom. We're restricted or incapacitated for some reason. We can't do the things that we want to do or the things that we used to be able to do. And it's frustrating. But just because our circumstances don't give us certain freedoms, it doesn't mean we're useless in the work of Christ's kingdom. Just because we've been set aside for a time, it doesn't mean that we don't have work that we could be doing in serving Christ. We can all pray. We can all get down on our knees or bow our heads and talk to our Father in heaven. Perhaps this morning for our children and young people, maybe you think, I'm too young or too little to do something for Jesus. Maybe you think, I'm not a big grown up. What can I do for Jesus and the church? Here's something that you can do. You can pray. You can pray for the church. Pray for your Sabbath school teacher. Pray for your friends in church. Pray for those that you sit near. Pray for your church family. Even the youngest can be involved in this work. Has illness, either your own illness or the illness of others, restricted you? The pressure of looking after someone else. It limits the time that you can give to serving Christ in ways that perhaps you would like to. Remember, Paul was in prison, and he could pray. Perhaps you have a young family, work commitments, and they just seem to take up all your time and energy. You'd love to be doing more, but the circumstances that God has you in right now, it limits you. Then this morning, I want you to realize, please realize this. There is something wonderful that you can be doing for your brothers and sisters in Christ here. There's something of great importance that you can involve yourself in. And it's praying. Paul, as we will see through these letters, makes it clear that he's in prison. A prisoner for the Gentiles, a prisoner for the gospel, a prisoner for the sake of the church, a prisoner for Christ. But his earthly circumstances, which just seem so constricting, they're in fact liberating. I now have time to pray for my brothers and sisters. Friends, you can still have a fruitful ministry in Christ. Each of us can give ourselves to prayer for our church, for one another. Pray for all the saints. We can each give thanks by name for one another. You can be praying for your church family, and you can do this in any circumstance that you find yourself in. Context of Paul's praying. But then secondly here, the content of Paul's praying. The content. Now we're focusing in more in verses 14 to 21 of Ephesians chapter 3. And here we have Paul outlining some of his prayer points. It would be a good exercise for you as you read through these letters to note down the prayers of Paul. And you can use those as a framework in praying for one another. So take note of Paul's prayers for his brothers and sisters. But here I want to focus our attention on Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. We see Paul bowing his knee before God the Father. And this is God the Father who possesses the nations. This is God the Father who's the one who gives an inheritance and has a storehouse full for all those that he possesses out from the nations. And so Paul, in his praying, is asking the one who is rich in grace and mercy and in glory to act on behalf of his people. And Paul prays that God will strengthen or invigorate the saints with power, that he will do it by his Spirit, and that Christ will dwell in their hearts so that they might have strength to comprehend the immeasurable vastness of God's love for them in Christ, that they might be filled with the fullness of God. Now here is a prayer that we can all offer up for one another. Look at verse 16. Pray that the Father will provide his riches. Well, what are these riches? Well, Paul's letter to this church in Ephesus has already been referring to the riches of God. Sorry for making you jump around a little bit, but if you go back again to chapter 1 and verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3, following on from there. So these are the riches that Paul is praying that God will give to the church in Ephesus, that God will reveal more and more to them. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And then Paul has a list of things that this grace has done for us. Paul says we've been chosen, we've been adopted, we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven. He's revealed his truth to us. He's given us an inheritance. We are to the praise of his glory. We are sealed by the Spirit. Here are God's riches to us. And we can pray that God will show these riches to us more and more. Pray for one another that we will grasp what God has done for us more and more. Pray that God will continue to work out this wonderful salvation for us in our lives. God has saved your brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray that they will grasp that. That they will know and understand this salvation. That it will grip their heart. That it will grip their mind. God continues to show us grace and mercy. So pray that your Father in heaven, who has a rich abundance of this grace, will continue to show it to your brothers and sisters. Pray that the Father will provide his riches. Verse 16 again in chapter 3. Pray that your brothers and sisters will be invigorated with power through the Holy Spirit. Here's something to pray for those that you sit near in church, those on the other side of the church building. Pray that the Holy Spirit will be working in them, in their hearts and in their minds. We've already been invigorated by the Holy Spirit. We have new life as God the Spirit comes and dwells in us, giving us a new heart, new eyes to see, a new mind to understand. Look at chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. We were dead in our sins. That's where we were. But now we've been made alive. And Paul then prays that that Spirit that has made us alive through Christ by the grace of God, that Spirit will invigorate us, will give us power and strength to understand this truth. The work of God, the Spirit in our lives, will help us know more and more what God has done for us. And so Paul prays for this church in Ephesus. Paul the prisoner, he can't be doing anything else for the Ephesians. And so he prays that the Holy Spirit will be working in their lives, enlivening them, strengthening them, working in them that they may grasp more and more what God has done for them. What a prayer to be praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Even when there's nothing else you can do, you can pray for them. Look at verse 17. Pray that Christ will dwell in the hearts of your church family. We're dead in our sins and trespasses, but in Christ we're made alive, and so now our identity is in Christ. Christ lives in us. He dwells in us by God the Spirit. And we are to be made more and more like Christ. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is our identity. We are in Christ. And so pray for one another that Christ will be indwelling our hearts, that we will be made more and more like the one in whom we have been placed. God will be working in Christ in our hearts. Pray that we will know Christ in us. As you wake up in the morning, there should be someone praying for you that you will know Christ in you. As you eat your breakfast, Christ in you. As you travel to work, Christ in you. As you talk to work colleagues, as you go about your day, as you speak to friends, as you discuss that business deal, or as you sit down to study or listen to a teacher or professor, Christ in you. As you eat your lunch and talk about your weekend with those that you're with, Christ in you. As you come home, as you spend time with family, as you go about your interests and your hobbies, Christ in you. Pray that we will each know Christ in us, that we will be so caught up with our identity in Jesus Christ that it will shape our lives and mold us, and that we will be able to reflect Christ to those around us. Christ dwelling in our hearts. Pray that for one another. Pray that your brothers and sisters will know Christ dwelling in them. Pray that the Father will provide out of his glorious riches. Pray that we will be invigorated and strengthened by the power of the Spirit working in us. And pray that Christ will be dwelling in our hearts, that we will know our identity in him. In verse 18, Paul continues in his prayer, that we may have strength to understand or to comprehend with all of our brothers and sisters what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Pray for your church family. Pray for one another. Pray for me. That each of us will be able to grasp more and more this vast, expansive, heavenly love. This love that took on earthly form. This love that is so great that it can't be measured. This love from the heavens, because it was set in place in eternity. He loved us before the foundation of the world. This love that was made low because Jesus Christ took on human form and came down to earth. This love that brought him to the cross to die for you, to bear that punishment that we deserve, that eternal punishment. This love that stretches through the generations and history. This love for all types of people. From all different places, this vast, immeasurable love. This love that we will be praising God for all eternity. And we will never grow tired or weary of considering it and thanking God for it. Pray that our small, little, minuscule minds might be able to grasp more and more the vastness, the depth and the wonder and the glory of this love that has been shown to us. What a prayer you can offer up for your brothers and sisters in Christ. May they know your love more and more. Do you feel that there's not a lot you can do for Christ in this kingdom? Do you feel as though your gifts and abilities are just limited? How can I serve at this time in my life? Pressures, I just feel constrained. Just feel as though there are chains. I can't do anything. My illness, my weakness, the responsibilities I have, what can I do to help? What can I do to serve Christ? Do what Paul does. Pray. Pray these great prayers for one another. Here is a way for you to serve. Here is a way for you to be involved. We should never be short of things to pray for one another when we are praying that we will know the love of God in Christ. So take time over this praying. Give yourself to praying. Look out beyond your own circumstances. Don't see them as chains or a hindrance or a prison or a restriction. They're not. They're God's circumstances in your life. And they are circumstances through which you can be praying for your church family as they pray for you. The content of Paul's prayer. Conscious of our time. So thirdly, and very briefly, the confidence of Paul's praying. Verse 20. The confidence of Paul's praying. Look at verse 20. Here is the God who can do so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. In fact, Paul says he can do far more abundantly, super abundantly. God can do beyond all measure. God answers our prayers greatly exceeding the boundaries that we place on God. He can do more than we could ever ask or even dare to ask for. Imagine. Here's Paul's confidence. And friends, this is our confidence in prayer. We can be used of Christ in his kingdom as we pray. The prayer of a righteous man, like Elijah, James says, is powerful and effective. Not because we are good, not because our prayer has been great, but because of the God who can do far more abundantly than anything we could ask or imagine. As you're in your home later on today, perhaps tonight before you go to bed, and you're praying for your church family, God is working. You are being used in the service of Jesus Christ. And God is able to do far more than you've even been asking. Isn't that wonderful? Whose service of Christ is restricted? Who's limited by their ability? Who's constrained or feels useless? None of us. Because it is God who works. And because we are offering up our prayers through Christ to our Father in heaven, and we are asking him to answer these prayers, and he's able to do far more abundantly than we ask or we imagine. You might say, I'm not very gifted. You maybe look around and think you don't have the capacity that others have to contribute to the work of Christ's kingdom. But I'm laid aside with weakness, illness. I just feel chained, imprisoned. How can I contribute? Remember, Paul was in prison for 2 years. Under house arrest. Every moment of every day was spent chained to a Roman soldier. And yet look what he was able to do for the Church of Christ. He could pray, and he did without ceasing. And friends, this is something that we should be doing. This is something that we can all do, irrespective of gifts and abilities, irrespective of our circumstances. We can get on our knees and pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And here's what we can pray for. Pray that we will be growing in knowledge and understanding, in faith, that we'll be grounded and rooted in love. Pray that we will know more and more the love of Christ. Pray that the Spirit will be strengthening us and invigorating us. Pray that God will be continuing to pour out His grace and His riches and those blessings from that heavenly storehouse that is overflowing. Friends, take these prayers of Paul. Use them in praying for one another. And we can be assured that God the Father hears us and is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, so that He will receive the glory in Jesus Christ. Amen.